Hi there, and welcome to episode 18 of the OGB Energy Let's Talk Transition series of podcasts. I'm Murray Milhuish, the founder of Anet Consulting, and I'm delighted to have with me Bruce Hall, Chief Executive Officer of Onyx Insights. Hey, Bruce.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. I'm delighted to have you with us today, Bruce. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your company, please.
Well, we'll start with the company first, shall we? So Onyx is a leading provider of predictive analytics in the wind industry, focused on the wind industry. It's a global player. It's got 7 offices around the world, approximately 140 people. And it's carved out a position within the wind industry over the past probably 6 or 7 years, et cetera, to be that leading provider of analytics. And by analytics, I mean we take data from the wind turbines, wherever they be around the world. We analyze that data and we play that back to our customers. And from that the insights that we provide is that we can tell them when their equipment is likely to fail.
Wow. So 140 people, 7 locations around the world. And how long have you been in business?
It depends when you start the clock, actually, Murray. So talk about how the business was set up. There were 3 main phases. It was set up originally, the germ of the idea came from a company called Romax. And they were designing gearboxes and bearings for the wind industry. And as they were developing their designs, they also set up an analytics division because they were the best people to come to when faults were detected or problems were detected in the wind industry. So there was a team of engineers probably dating back to 2008 that was set up almost like a skunk works to work on problems as they emerged in this new growing industry, which is now wind. And that sort of skunk works team developed an expertise. And this came to the attention of Castrol. This is the second life, so to speak, of Onyx. Castrol, the oil company, wanted a digital maintenance offering. At that point, they only had a product offering. So they took a controlling stake in this business. And then it started to grow quite dramatically. And then the third phase of life was the BP, the bigger oil company, saw what Onyx was doing, liked it, and then bought everybody out in year 2020. So we're in our third phase of ownership, and we're ready for the next phase. But that's as far as we've come now, Murray.
Well, I mean, it's actually thinking about that. It's a great example of the oil and gas industry actually supporting that energy transition. Tell me about the system. What parameters is it that you are recording?
Well, we primarily focus on mechanical parts. So we'll take in whichever data is best suited to solve that issue. So typically, and certainly in the early days, typically what we would take vibration data off the system. But it was a combination of vibration data coming from any different sensor types combined with SCADA data. But as we've developed, we'll take other data sources, depending on what the problem is. Obviously, if the problem is in, for example, the gearbox, is vibration is a very good source of data. SCADA is a very good source of data. But increasing other sources, such as, for example, oil analytics or debris, strain sensors, etc. So it, for us, Murray, is that we'll take whatever data is required to solve the problem.
Right. And are they greenfield systems, brownfield systems? Are they retrofit, new build?
We classify them as 3, actually. We would say that the systems that we provide fall into 3 categories. One is, I think you would describe it as greenfield. We might refer to it as initial build. So this is an OEM, a turbine manufacturer, who is building their turbines, and they want the best equipment, the best predictive analytics equipment on their turbine. So that would be classified as greenfield. Secondly, there is what we would call retrofit. You've already termed it. Those are older turbines that don't have a CMS system. So again, we've developed products, or a product anyway, that is very good for retrofit solutions. And there are a lot of turbines out there that have no CMS system on them at all. But the emerging area now, and you've made mention of it, is upgrade. So there are turbines that are out there, let's say they're about 10 years old, that do have CMS systems on them. But those systems are starting to get old, or they're not particularly well designed. And as operators want to run those turbines for longer and potentially harder, they're looking to upgrade those systems. So we've got 3, essentially. We call greenfield or initial build. Secondly, you've got retrofit, and then you've got upgrade. So depends how old the turbine is and what the operator wants to do. We've got a solution for each phase of the turbine's life.
That's interesting, Bruce. How does it affect the cost of wind power?
significantly. Now, let me kind of, I'm hesitating because I'm kind of thinking there are different solutions. If you buy a brand new turbine, you want the latest system and the most accurate system on your turbine. And companies like ourselves are able to offer that. And increasingly, they want programs and solutions that are tuned for the wind industry, because that's the important thing. So we recently won the GE initial build contract. And that was built around basically having a solution tuned for the wind industry. So that was kind of answer number one. Answer number two is, I just go back to your point about the older turbines. Those older turbines in that situation is that CMS solutions must have a very clear payback, certainly on older or smaller turbines. It's quite easy to argue the case on bigger turbines, but you've got to be able to prove it. And that's increasingly very, very, very relevant, and particularly with regard to the levelized cost of electricity, because people want to drive costs down, and they want to be able to prove that they can do it.
Right. And Bruce, when you say CMS, that's condition monitoring system, right?
Sorry, I'm talking into my acronyms. Yeah, condition monitoring system, CMS.
Right, you can never have enough acronyms, can you?
I was going to say, sorry, I've fallen into the trap already.
And what would a typical payback on investment be?
It would be months. And obviously, it depends on the turbine size and the power output. But it has to be months. And this is the issue to your earlier question, to say, in terms of, you know, what is the impact? We've all got to work to bring the levelized cost of electricity down. We know that 60%, 65% of the cost of maintenance is unscheduled failures. And it's that piece that we work on. So we've got a very clear model that we're able to explain to our customers, we can articulate to our customers. And frankly, they know this anyway now with their experience. So the payback has to be within months.
And you mentioned size there, Bruce. Does it matter if it's a small onshore turbine or a huge offshore turbine? Does location size, does it matter?
I mean, not really. The issue is two parts. The size doesn't really matter. It's the number of mechanical parts and the complexity. So, you know, let's say a very big turbine, 6-8 megawatts, or even the much bigger ones. What we're finding there is that the mechanical parts are similar. There may be, you know, more bearings, or in some cases, no gearbox. But as you simplify the design, other problems start to appear. So what you've got on the new technologies is they're becoming much more complicated. New designs, power throughput or power to weight ratios are much higher, which means there's a much higher level of power going through a much smaller gearbox or a much smaller drivetrain. So that's about solving complexity. For the smaller turbines, you need a robust solution, slightly different. You need a smaller solution, but you've got to have a very clear payback on those. And the return on investment, the ROI, there's another acronym for you, there you go. The return on investment has got to be appropriate to those turbines, because, you know, for the wind industry, in many cases, it's not necessarily about building just more and having the latest turbines. It's about running the turbines that are out there already, those 10-year-old turbines or maybe 15-year-old turbines, for longer or harder. That will drive more value for the energy transition, we believe.
Right, okay. And you mentioned GE is one turbine manufacturer you're working with just there. Are you working with others as well?
Well, not on the initial build. So we as Onyx, we monitor, I couldn't even tell you, probably 30-plus turbine types around the world. And that's growing all the time. So we monitor, if you name a turbine manufacturer, we will monitor them somewhere around the world. But with regard to our initial build, or greenfield as you call it, GE is a new contract for us.
Sounds like a great partner to have, Bruce. So you mentioned 30 different turbine types. How many turbines is that?
For us, currently, we're monitoring about 14,000 turbines across the world.
14,000 turbines. And who owns the data?
Well, our customers do. So we've always had a policy in terms of the data that we're generated. We sell our systems, but the data belongs to our customers. So what we will do is we'll make sure they get maximum value out of that data, but it's theirs.
Interesting. And now I assume with the GE offering the new build, then that your system is fully integrated with the control system of the turbine, of the wind farm. Is that the case when there's a retrofit?
No. So what we do is we don't combine with the control system. So we're a passive system that sits on top. So we're separated from the control system at present with our current offering.
And Bruce, tell me, whose wind farms is it that you're supporting?
We have been, up until most recently, focused on the aftermarket. So those are the operators, the big energy producers across the world. I won't give any names, but 7 out of 10 of the top operators around the world are customers of ours. We're very, very, very proud of that. And then, as I've mentioned previously, GE's are our first major OEM deal, which we're equally delighted with.
Great. Sounds like an impressive footprint. Sounds like very proven technology. Is that right?
It is. I want to say proven technology. This is the exciting thing, is that predictive maintenance systems, CMS systems, are, in many cases, they're not new. The interesting thing for us is to take those solutions and A, tune them for the wind industry, and second, to your earlier question, bring in other data sources to solve these emerging problems, because the problems that we had 5-10 years ago are not the same problems that our customers are having now, and it's those new problems that make it very exciting, make it very dynamic.
And from your perspective, Bruce, why is the wind industry so important?
Well, we've got to support the energy transition, and there's a lot riding on it. So if you read any newspaper or pick up any magazine or even go on your favorite website, there is it's top of mind, both in terms of public, but also in terms of the political landscape. And it's kind of an uneven time, because a lot of investment is going into wind, and I think we're duty bound. We're a very small cog in a very big machine, so let me just kind of put that out there. So we know our place in this. But it's up to people like us, or companies like us, to help that transition. And we've got to seek out the efficiencies wherever we can on behalf of our customers to prove it, to make sure that this happens. And as everybody says, you need a safe, reliable source of energy. And that's what we've got to be able to prove. And we're up against fossil fuels that have been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and they've had time to perfect it. The wind industry in its modern form is relatively new, 20, 30 years old. So we've got a lot of small hills to climb, but we can do it.
Great. And when I was doing some research ahead of our call today, I see that Onyx Insights won the inaugural Made in the UK Sold to the World Awards. So congratulations for that. What proportion of your sales are exports? And how much of what you do is exported?
So we're very lucky. We've got a team of very talented engineers and suppliers. We export the bulk of what we do around the world. So the UK, very important market for us, but the bulk of what we do is outside the UK. It is designed here. So in the UK, in Nottingham, we have our software team, and we've got our advanced sensor team. They develop products. We manufacture some of them here in the UK and some of it in the rest of Europe, and we export it around the world. So, back to the question about customers, wherever our customers have turbines, out at sea or top of a mountain, we'll provide our equipment and our analytic services.
Great. And what's next for the company, Bruce?
Well, we'll go wherever the customers have problems. And I've got to say, not that we want our customers to have problems, of course, but where they're having issues, or whether they're wanting to seek out efficiencies, we'll follow them. So what we're finding, as they develop, or they're bringing on board bigger turbines, what we're finding, those bigger turbines have more complex designs, and those complex designs sometimes have failure modes that are being detected as we speak. That's in the drivetrain. But increasingly, what we want to do is we want a whole turbine or cross turbine solution. So it doesn't have to be the turbine. We're expanding our offer into the electrical systems, pitch systems, blade systems, tower, foundation. So as our customers develop their wind farm footprint, they're encountering problems, and it is companies like ours that are developing those solutions. So by a simple answer, it's a whole turbine solution. Wherever the problem appears, provided it's mechanical, that's the main lens I would put on it, we can provide either equipment or analytic solutions to solve those problems.
And are there opportunities for you outside of the wind industry?
There are. So predictive analytics, it could be applied to a steel industry. It could be applied to a coal plant, etc. In terms of the physics and the engineering behind it. The thing that we've tried to do there is we've tried to take the predictive analytics concept and tune it for the wind industry. So 99.9% of what we do is focused on wind and renewables.
Right. And now I'd like to find out a bit about you, if I can, Bruce. Can you take us through your career? You know, how do you end up being the chief executive at Onyx Insights?
Bit of luck, actually. I did engineering very early on at university, went on to do research, did my PhD, worked out very quickly. I wasn't smart enough to be any good at in the research environment. So before they figured that one out, I jumped ship and went into commercial. And actually, I'm joking aside, I was very interested in being where the money was made. Did various jobs, worked for Shell, worked for Castrol, worked for BP, operational roles, technical roles around the world, etc. And then 6-7 years ago, an opportunity came up to work here. And it was in renewables. It was getting to work, getting the opportunity to work with the young, very smart people. And it was also in an industry that I wanted to be in. It seemed like the right thing to do. I'd always had an interest in it. So I was lucky enough, married, just to be offered the job, and I took it, and I've not looked back.
Right. And Bruce, when you say engineering that you studied, first of all, was that mechanical, electrical?
Materials engineering.
Materials engineering, there we go. Good. So it's an interesting career path. Looking back at your career path, Bruce, what advice would you have to the younger Bruce just embarking on his career?
I would say follow your direction. Follow direction. So if you're heading in a direction, not necessarily a path. So if you have to take diversions left or right on your way in a given direction, accept that. And sometimes it can be good for you because you can, you know, that journey can take you into new areas that will surprise you, and you get the opportunity to grow. The second piece of advice I give to myself is that you work through the tough times. You know, the tough times can be not so fun, but when I look back, it's so in those tougher times that perhaps you learn the most. And that doesn't mean you should have 30 years of tough times. I'm not saying that. You know, there should be phases of growth. But the tough times are not to be scolded or to be avoided. You can grow as a person. And I'm not a masochist, but the issue is that you have those ups and downs through your career. I'm sure you've had them, Murray. By the smile on your face, you probably had a perfectly happy career all the way through.
But if only. And you know, Bruce, as the leader of a truly innovative business in the wind industry, what do businesses in wind need for success?
Smart people with a vision, but you've also got to have a very clear business offering too. So there's lots of good tech, lots of good ideas out there, but if you can imagine, it's kind of funneling that into a commercial solution, because this is the wind energy market, and it's wind energy that needs to compete with other forms. So we've quickly got to funnel that into an offering that is attractive to our customers. So, you know, nice tech is nice tech, but that nice tech has got to be developed into a very compelling offer and a solution with a payback.
Great. And how do you define success for Onyx Insights?
Developing solutions for our customers. So if we're to be leading edge and continue to be leading edge, we've got to be able to work on their problems, give them solutions to their issues that allows them to make electricity more cheaply. So that's kind of the customer angle. And then if I was to put it, you know, beyond making money for the company, there's an important part about people. It's about talent, and it's about bringing the best talent in. And I think the success for Onyx will also be the development opportunities we're able to give to our employees to be able to grow, to develop more solutions. And don't get me wrong, you know, we're not a university. We've got to make money too. But you know, if we can develop those solutions for our customers, but at the same time, by providing lots of exciting career opportunities for a battery of people that could be, you know, a range of different people from our software engineers through to our engineers who then go and climb turbines, we will have done the right thing.
Brilliant. And Bruce, in each episode, we ask our guests to set a question for our next guest without knowing who they'll be. In the last episode, we met with David Clark, the chief executive at Vices Group, and Dom McCann, the chief executive at Sycar. And they left the following question for you. If you had a time machine and could go back 50 years, what would you change that would help us with our current energy transition challenges?
I would be advocating much earlier for what we're going through now. So you don't need to read the news for very long to be able to pick up this constant theme about global warming. When I go back, 50 years, what was I doing 50 years ago? Well, I wasn't driving a car at that point. But the point being is about if we'd started earlier, and it's probably a bit of a long-winded answer, but if you look at the emissions that we've had over the past 50 years, how they've spiked, if we were able to have done something, or if we realized the path we were going down 50 years ago, we'd have taken a different route. And priorities were different then. You know, the Cold War was on, and we weren't as wealthy or as comfortable as we are now. But if we saw then where we would be now, I think we would have taken a very different toll. But that's not really helping. It's kind of looking back too much. The issue is, I think, Marie, is that, and I appreciate the question, don't get me wrong, but we're here now, so we've got to get on with it. And we can see what's happening. The energy transition's on. We've just got to do it. And we've got not to talk about it, how nice it is and how important it is. We've got to make sure that commercially it makes sense.
Right. And Bruce, let me push you a little bit on one point there. What would you change 50 years ago? One thing.
People's attitudes.
People's attitudes. Good one. Right. And today, Bruce, ahead of recording, asked you to set a question for our next guest. Can you let us have it, please?
Well, the question would be, again, against the theme of growing wind industry, the issue that we've got right now is that there aren't enough skilled people in the wind industry. There aren't enough people to check cables, to build turbines, to monitor them. So we will have, as this industry builds out, a staffing issue. So the question to the next guest is, what are you doing, or what do we need to do to build the skills quickly enough such that that doesn't hold back the wind industry's development? What is it that you're doing to develop skills for people and the number of people for the wind industry and for the energy transition of the future?
That's an excellent question, Bruce. Can you answer that question for yourself, would you mind? What is Onyx Insights doing to develop skills for the next generation?
Well, we're hiring. That's one side of it. But I suppose the issue comes for any industry is that there's a pool of people right now in the wind industry. And whoever I speak to, I was out for dinner last night speaking to somebody about, you know, getting qualified staff, and they were telling me the same thing. What's happening is everybody's fishing in the same pool. So you want to build a team to focus on the wind industry. It's easiest just to go and find somebody who has some experience. But the real issue for us all in terms of leaders within the wind industry is actually we've got to cast our eyes further out. We've got to get people in a variety of different industries, whether it be manufacturing, extractive, or otherwise, and we've got to bring them in. Now, it's a little bit more difficult because we've got to take some chances. We've got to take the bet that person will be able to move into a new sector. They'll have time to grow, build their knowledge, build their experience. But that's what it requires. You know, we know that there aren't enough staff within the wind industry right now. So what are we doing about it? So, you know, what we are increasingly doing is, you know, we also, by the way, to open ourselves up, is sometimes we fall into the trap of primarily recruiting within the wind industry. But increasingly what we're doing now is we're looking outside the wind industry to bring people in. Now, that is also healthy for our DNA because you're bringing in different experience, different skills, and mixing it with the DNA that we've got within the organization already. So I find that side of the business really, really interesting. But you have to do it. There aren't enough people right now.
But, and tell me, Bruce, how does Onyx work with universities and graduates to grow your pool through that route?
Well, you know, I think 25% of our workforce have got PhDs, which could be a good thing or a bad thing, but either way, that's where we are. So we'll hire people from a range of different experience. And, you know, what we would say is that we like people who are analytical, but it's more to do with, you know, having a bright person who's got fire in their belly, et cetera, and a purpose. So, you know, we work with a variety of different universities around the world. So we've got summer projects on, et cetera, and we build people or we bring people in through a number of different levels. But I've got to say that we could always be doing more. And this goes from, you know, here we are, it's July at present. Now's the time to bring summer students in. We've got two of them with us right now. We've got apprenticeships. We've got people post-degree, post-PhD. And people who are on the second or the third level of their career, bringing them in.
Right, that's good to hear that you're really investing in that next generation for the industry. That's fantastic.
Well, we are. I mean, I don't want it to be motherhood and apple pie, but we're doing our bit. We could always do more. I acknowledge that.
Perfect. And Bruce, you know, thank you very much. That brings us to the end of recording today, but I would like to thank you, you know, Bruce Hall, Chief Executive Officer at Onyx Insights, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
As always, feedback on today's podcast and suggestions for future guests and questions we should be asking of the energy transition leaders are most welcome. A lot of you get in touch through LinkedIn. Please keep doing so, but you can email me too. It's Murray, that's M-O-R-A-Y, at annetconsulting.com. Thank you very much, and we'll see you again in the next episode.